This is the Podcast Replay. This Podcast Replay is brought to you by the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah is the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack?
Right, welcome aboard. I guess this is part of hour two, I guess, because we started at 9:30 or something, right? So great job by Ira and Clay. Another terrific hour of Inside the Paint. Boys covered everything that you could possibly cover about the Heat. And I'm sure that as things go on, they'll include more NBA talk. But obviously right now, with everything that's gone on in free agency, there's so much to talk about with the Heat. So we focus mostly on the Heat, but I'm sure they'll add some NBA talk as the year goes on. Remember, it's every Wednesday that the guys will be doing it. That'll be cool. Next week, Ira will be out in Vegas for the Vegas Summer League. So he'll be covering the Vegas Summer League and obviously giving us all the insight with his reports here on our show. So looking forward to having Ira on next week. Remember, Ira now is Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. All right, so Ira will be back on Friday for his report for his Acura of Pembroke Pines Miami Heat report. But we just had a great Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint Hour, and that was absolutely fantastic by the guys and a great response. And I like that all of you in out there were, if you were on the chat board, you were sending in questions, which is cool. Stay interactive. We like to be interactive here. On the program, and obviously everybody else tied to this show will be interactive, and the guys were also interactive in taking some of your questions and comments. So it's good stuff there. We want you to know that when you chat or you send an email or anything like that, or by the way, Matthew Owen, thank you, sir, for a little love on the super chat. And he says, keep it up. Thank you, Matthew. And remember, folks, that you can make a donation to the program. We'd prefer you do it through Cash App and Venmo. Cash Big O Show is the address. Cash Big O Show, because the show gets the entire donation. Whereas if we do it on the Super Chat, which I don't mind, but YouTube gets 30% of it, right? So we don't get as much. So just in case, if you have Cash App or Venmo, that would be the better way to help out the show. But I appreciate it whether you do it on Super Chat or Cash App or Venmo. But anyway, if you do it on Cash App or Venmo, Cash Big O Show is the way to go. Two Extreme says, such a great show. Great job. Really enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you. I thought that those two would hit it off and do a great job. And there's no doubt that that's going to be a terrific show every week. And I think it's must see or listen to. Depending on how you want to do it. If you want to watch it on YouTube, you can do it. If you want to listen to it, you can do it. We're starting now, by the way, on YouTube to break down some of the segments, some of the interviews we're going to add on there. We added the Omar Kelly one, so we're going to be trying to add some interviews also for you here on the program. So look out for that also on YouTube. And that way it's a little easier, because I know that, you know, on audio, we make it easy for everybody. We break it up in hours. We break it up the complete show. We break up the interviews, some rants, things like that, because that's kind of the attention span in today's world. So I know, and a lot of you, you know, you may not have time. You know, the other thing is when you put up the whole show, then people have to search for things. And then, you know, they don't want to do that kind of stuff. You got to make it as easy as possible for people. That's one of the things I've learned as we've done this every day. You got to try to make it as easy as possible for people to participate and enjoy the program, because sometimes they only want to hear the Dolphins talk or the Heat talk or the Panthers talk or the Inter Miami talk or the Marlins talk or something like that. And that's all they want to hear at that moment. So you got to individually put some of that stuff up, man. Alfredo says, damn, I missed Inside the Paint. I rewind. There you go. Rewind, man. You can rewind. Rewind, you get on there, and we've been on since 9:30. Remember, Wednesdays we come on at 9:30, and we warm up the seat for the guys for the first half hour before Inside the Paint takes over at 10 a.m. We are awaiting Alan Pupar and the Sports Grill, Miami Sports Grill Insiders Miami Dolphins show. So we will see if we can get Alan on. He'll be on at some time in this hour. Can't tell you exactly when, because it's when he's available over there at camp. And then he'll chime in with us and we'll get his thoughts on what's going on in camp today and his thoughts in the first couple of days, now that this is the second day of them actually putting on some pads, which is really good stuff. Let's see. Bam drives me crazy when he gets the ball on the top of the key and keeps his back to the basket to hand it off. The defender then backs off and clogs the paint, face the basket, and become a scoring threat. Well, it's not just face the basket. It's the second part. It's you need to become a scoring threat. And that's what he needs to do. He kind of scores, you know, almost out of necessity at times, you know, because it was finally set up for him around the rim, or once in a while he'll take it, but he has to be way more aggressive. And he has to act like it's his damn team. He has to take over. And he has a very passive attitude. And that's and he's a hell of a player. I mean, it's not like we don't want him on the team, right? It's just you see the potential that he could be more. That's what it is. It's that, you know, that's the other thing that I want people to understand, because I understand what Omar Lopez is saying. And I think all of us kind of feel the same way. We have our little gripes, right? They're not really, we're not pissed at the guy. We're not complaining, but it is a gripe. And it's like, come on, Bam, we know you can be better. We see it. You can be great. You know what I mean? And we're waiting for that moment for him to, you know, take over. And maybe it never happens. Maybe it never happens. Maybe he's just not that guy. Maybe it's not in his DNA to be an alpha. You know what I mean? Some guys have it and some guys don't. And it's got to come out already at this point. If it doesn't, I think by this year or even next year, then we've got to say, yeah, that this is not who he is. You know what I mean? And that's just the sad part. Sometimes you can't change somebody's personality. That, no matter who it is, it's impossible. It's, you are what you are, man. You know what I mean? And so maybe that's just him. But we'll find out. I mean, it we're already at that point where if it doesn't happen now, by this year, maybe even next year, then you gotta stop even worrying about it or even expecting it. It's, you got your finished product. That's it. He reached this pinnacle, and this is who he is. But we all see that talent-wise, he can do a lot more. Alfredo says, I enjoy summer league better than the NBA regular season. I know I'm crazy. Alfredo, I got to tell you something. I don't enjoy it more than the regular season, but I do enjoy summer league. I'm with you. I like to record the summer league games, not just the Heat one. I record the other ones and I watch them. So yeah, I'm like you. I'm kind of sick and twisted. In fact, I was talking to Bill about this about a month ago, that my vision, you know, and I was talking to Ira about this too, actually, about a month ago, and we were talking about doing all of this and you know, getting him on the show and starting to do everything, you know, inside the paint and the Acura reports and all that kind of stuff. And we were talking about a month ago. That's because we agreed to a deal with Acura, but they weren't going to really officially start. Well, they started last month, but like with the reports this month. And because we wanted to start right around free agency. And so I told Ira, my vision is next year, our show will be in the Vegas Summer League. You know, we'll go out to Vegas. We already have a place to broadcast in Vegas. So all we need to do is, you know, just get the right sponsors, cover the costs of flying out there and the hotel, and stay out there for whatever it is, a couple days a week, whatever it is that we have to stay, and cover summer league, you know, do the shows, maybe get players on, whatever it is, get some, obviously have Ira, but you know, if we can get anybody else, we'll get other people on, have some fun while we're out there. Obviously got to catch a concert or two, you know, those kind of things. So I'm hoping next year that we start doing not just the football stuff that we do, East West and Senior Bowl and Combine. And, you know, hopefully by next year, we've reached the point that, you know, we're a lot better with the virus and I can travel again to the combine. And I, because I heard the combine this year was a disaster, and the Senior Bowl, even though they had it, it was, you know, it wasn't really accessible like normal and things like that. So I'm glad I didn't go. But if we could get back to it, I'd love to cover the football stuff. And then I'd love to cover the basketball stuff in the summer. You know, I think that would be cool. I think that's where we're at right now, because football and basketball have gone year round. You know, Ira was like, hey, you sure you want me early, you know, early on in the season talking basketball during football? I said, yeah, because we have basketball fans. So people will download the football stuff when they want to hear the football stuff, and the people that want to hear basketball, they'll get the download, you know, because that's where we're at nowadays. We got a lot of passion for both sports. Let's see. Tony says, I heard Marcus Smart mentioned with the Heat. Is that still an option? I think he would be a great backup guard. Marcus Smart is going to demand way too much money. I don't think Miami can get a guy like that at this point. I don't know if there's some kind of sign and trade that they can pull off, but they can't. They can't get him as a free agent, that's for sure. Kenlo says the same thing as Parker. It's time to trade Parker or just let him go. Are you talking about Devontae Parker? And it's funny that you mentioned that, because Devontae Parker catched a slant from Tua on 11 on 11s right now, and went for 15 yards. And the guys were actually talking about it right now. Raekwon Davis, by the way, just slammed Myles Gaskins to the ground. So you see, it's getting active there in camp. Lynn Bowden Jr. is having a quiet camp. Let's see, what else do we have here coming in? Now, listen, here's the thing about the Devontae Parker thing. And this happens sometimes, and I love you guys out there. I love you, all you fans out there. But sometimes you're not realistic. So let me ask you something. Devontae Parker, often injured, right? What kind of a market do you actually think there's going to be out there for Devontae Parker? You've got to pay whatever it is, $8 million. I can look up his salary, whatever it is, 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. Let's just say. And what kind of a pick also are you going to give for an often injured guy? Think about that. So it's really easy to say, well, trade his ass. He's always injured. Okay. How tradable is he? How sexy is he? So let me ask you now. When he's healthy, he can play. He can help you. I'm not telling you he's an elite receiver, but the dude can play when he's healthy, right? But if you're not going to get anything more than a sixth or seventh rounder, are you sure that you're going to have six guys better than him? Or are you just better off keeping him? You know what I mean? And that's what you got to look at. All right, it is time now. We're going to get into our Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Insider Report with, of course, Alan Pupar. And you can follow him on Twitter at Pupar NFL. Oh, he's got a new Expos hat too now. He's styling it, because you on Saturday you had the worn out one. Now you brought out like a newer lid out there, bro. You're gonna sweat that one up. Are you good with that?
I'm fine with it. Gotta rep one way or another, my man.
Okay. All right. Well, he'll be repping twice a week here now with the Sports Grill Miami Dolphins Insider Report. And don't forget, Sports Grill has seven great locations. We want you to check out Bird and Miami Lakes. They've been around since 1987, baby. Make sure you tell them that the Big O Show sent you, baby. All right. So, Alan, you can follow him on Twitter at Pupart NFL. Alan, first of all, how are you reacting to Flores saying that the X negotiations or X talking at least is headed in the right direction? What does that mean? What do you read into it?
I am reacting with a healthy dose of skepticism. My question is, if we were to ask Howard these days or his agent David Cantor, who has declined to comment on this situation, if they agree that the contract talks are quote unquote heading in the right direction, not 100% sure that they would necessarily agree with that assessment. So it's a very vague statement. And what does it mean? Are they closer in contract talks? Are they closer from their standpoint to getting X to cave in and play under his contract? All I know is there's no movement. He's not on a practice again today with what Flores is saying is an ankle injury. And I'm going to use maybe ankle injury. And then yesterday toward the end of practice, he came jogging onto the field, I think, to join the sideline. And pretty good to me, actually, for somebody who's been out for a week with an ankle injury.
Yeah, yeah, I figured that. You know, the cynical one in me is thinking maybe these guys are like, you know what? Maybe we give them a couple guarantees in the contract this year. That way it shuts him up. It keeps him happy. And then he goes out there and he plays and he forgets all about it. And at the end of the year, we ship his ass out when we know where everybody stands around the NFL in the draft and all of that. And we could get a better deal at the end of the year than we can right now. And the unknown of even if you trade, you don't know where that team is going to end up in the draft. And it might end up being a later pick. So I'm almost the cynical one in me is also thinking maybe we just shut him up a little bit this year and then trade his ass in the offseason. That's the kind of progress I'm thinking that could be happening. Any chance of that?
Yeah, no, certainly. I think anything's open to interpretation. Any possibility is out there. I think the bottom line, too, Dolphins, it doesn't make sense for the Dolphins to trade him right now if they have playoff aspirations in 2021 because more than likely you're getting draft picks back. That doesn't help you this year. And doesn't take a rocket scientist or a football expert to realize that there's going to be a major drop-off without X on the roster. So it benefits them greatly to try to work this out. And if it ends up being that they throw him some guaranteed money or move some money around and give him a little bit more this year, that does make sense. Then the question becomes, why haven't they done that to this point? Why have they let this drag out all the way until training camp? The situation going on right now, I'm going to guess, can't come as a shock to the Dolphins that Howard would go public with a request of a trade if he spent all the season asking for a new contract and you haven't given it to him.
It's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing ends. Alan Poupart, of course, joining us for the Sports Grill, Miami Dolphins Insider Report. He'll be doing it twice a week here. Follow him on Twitter. You can see it right there under his mug right there at Poupart NFL. All right, so how do we read into Solomon Kinley falling all the way down to the third team? And what have you seen so far in the first couple of days?
Well, the first thing I would say is I wouldn't overreact to second team, third team on the second day of padded practice. That's number one. Number two, I would still highly anticipate that he'll be on the roster come September 12th. Having said that, I'm not looking particularly good for him in terms of his prospects of being a starter. The issue with him, I think, is he's too big. That was a factor last year. And that I think that contributed in part to the foot problems that he wound up having after starting off actually fairly well. Dolphins had three rookies starting on the offensive line at some point, and safe to say that early on he was probably the most impressive of the three, but then that play kind of faded and there are conditioning concerns with the guy. I think there's still enough there that he's going to be on the roster. Like I said, though, I wouldn't anticipate him being a starter, but I also don't anticipate, or I wouldn't suggest that just because somebody else got second team reps at guard yesterday means his time in Miami is soon to come to an end.
What have you seen from Michael Dieter at center now in the first day of pads? Because I know second day just started, so it's hard to get a read. What'd you think of Dieter so far?
No, he looked fine. Again, it's the first day of practice. I don't think he'd be looking at Mike Pouncey or Marquise Pouncey or any of the dominant centers in the NFL, but I think he can be a solid piece. I think the more important guys might be guys like Austin Jackson. Rob Hunt's the guy who I have the most hopes for on that offensive line. I think he's got the potential to be really, really good. And Dieter's job is going to be to, like, help the communication, no mistakes, and hold his own when it comes to either pass blocking or run blocking. And at this point, based on what we've seen, it sure looks like he's going to be the guy at center.
So no truth that Dwight Stevenson was on the sidelines drooling at how good Dieter was practicing. No truth to that.
No, but Vince Wilfork was on the sideline yesterday. He may have been drooling looking at Dieter for another reason, but we don't want to go there. That's not very nice.
I love it. All right, so your assessment of Tua so far. I know people are talking about progress and all that stuff. And, you know, Saturday I was there, and he made a couple of nice passes. But with no pads, it's hard for me to take any of this seriously. So I trust your assessment. What do you see in Tua right now?
I see some nice throws, mostly intermediate range throws, which is going to have to be where he makes his money. If he's going to take a big step forward in 2021, it's going to be short, the intermediate throws. Get it out quickly, be accurate with it, let your receivers get a lot of yak. I think there's a little bit of a false narrative that's being pushed around by my colleagues here that he's completely lighting it up when the setting is conducive to that. There's some throws that he's made, some long completions where they come after 5 seconds in the pocket where he's patting the ball and they're not stopping the play because it's practice. And then, boom, there goes a long completion. Well, yeah, in a game, that doesn't really happen like that. So I would say I definitely see progress. But, again, I would caution against fans, like, you know, like getting him fitted for his Hall of Fame jacket already.
All right. When you start looking at practice, who's the guy that really stands out to you right now? When you start to brag about, okay, well, this guy really looks good to me. I know you've seen most of the stuff without pads and only one day, and now there's a second day with pads. But is there somebody that has caught your attention on any side of the ball?
Yeah, there's three guys that I've kind of noticed, and two of them are, like, really below-the-radar guys. And then one guy who, like, really caught my eye is Benardrick McKinney, the guy they got, the linebacker they got from Houston in the offseason trade for Shaq Lawson. Couldn't show a whole lot of what he does in the practices without pads because his forte is being a physical guy, but you just look at him and, man, he looks the part. That is one big dude. And then the pads come on yesterday. There's a lot of focus on the running game, and that dude's always in the backfield or the first one to make contact with the running back. So, yeah, really, again, very, very early, but really like them. And then two guys who are more so in the passing game because, and then this is what we saw most of last week, Robert Foster. When he was signed, it's like, yeah, he's got gunner experience. He's a wide receiver, but mostly a gunner. He catches, he gets open, he catches everything thrown his way. And I'm like, looking at him, how do you keep this guy on the roster? Now, having said that, he needs to carry that over to the preseason and the joint practices. But if he continues on this track, you just can't keep him off the roster. The guy's been that good. And then defensively, we talk about the cornerbacks, and I will give you the name of one youngster who's kind of completely an unknown, but Terrell Bonds, play after play after play he's making in coverage, and he's got really tight coverage this morning. He had a nice pass breakup. Actually had a pick, I should say, in a one-on-one half-field drill from the 20-yard line, which, as you know, heavily favors the offense because they have so much room to go. And he literally undercut the receiver on his route and picked off Jacoby Brissett. That kid's been really impressive.
So you're saying we have to start printing shirts, can't keep Foster off the roster? Is that what you're saying?
Very good. I like that.
Remember, very good. You remember Free Eddie House back in the Heat days? Free, yep. Eddie House?
Yep.
Can't keep Foster off the roster. Okay. He was the kid that made the sideline catch on Saturday, the right sideline catch. Yep. I thought it was – at first I thought it was Preston because I thought it was 18. I go, is that a – wait a minute, he's injured. No, he's not here. That's Foster. That was him, right?
That's all he's done. I mean, that's one of me. And even going back to the spring, dude was getting open, and, like, the first time I noticed him is he caught, like, a pass right near the sideline, did a toe-tap job, made the catch, which, like, semi-routine into practice, but still very impressive. Yeah, and you mentioned Preston. No, Preston, nowhere to be seen. So it wasn't
happening. Yeah. Well, I hope they take their time with Preston and give him time to be really healthy to get out there and actually win a spot. I thought they rushed him a little bit too much last year, and then he ends up suffering another setback. He's got so much talent. Make sure he's healthy so he can have a legitimate shot at actually winning that job. Let me ask you, how concerned should we be about Noah not – being the guy while X is out, and that Needham is the guy right now, or are you not concerned about that?
No, I'm concerned whether it's Needham, whether it's Benogany, whether it winds up Jason McCourt, even though I see him more as the free safety. Look, no matter who it's going to be, it's going to be a massive, massive drop-off. And not only that, it's going to hurt what the Dolphins like to do, which is get those corners on an island and then get funky up front with the blitzes and the coverages and the disguises. So it's still too early to suggest. Yeah, they're taking turns, again, at every position. So one day, Benogany is going to be the guy getting the first-team reps. One day, it's going to be Nick Needham. I haven't seen either one of them be really stand out in a positive or negative way. But based on what we saw last year, yeah, I mean, Benogany has had a major long road to go to get to, like, NFL-caliber cornerback level.
What is it for you in your eyes that you think Igbinoghi is struggling with?
Well, I mean, he'll tell you himself. He's just kind of a newbie at the position. He started off at Auburn as a wide receiver last year. I can tell you one of the things that got him several times is he got caught peeking into the backfield when the receiver would just turn and look back there for 2 seconds and then zoom, he'd zip right by him. That obviously can't happen. And logically, that starts happening less and less and less as he gains more experience.
Is that's the receiver in him, isn't it? Because the receiver does that all the time while he's trying to find a hole in the defense. If the guy's scrambling or whatever, the receiver habitually has to look back there, whereas habitually they don't want you looking back there that much if you're the corner, right? That's kind of the way it goes.
Correct. And his instincts, it may be ingrained in him that he's looking for that ball to come out and he's peeking, but can't do that. I mean, I'm all for turning your head around and making a play on the ball, but it's got to be at the right time, and he's got to be cognizant of the fact that if he bit that much as a rookie, opponents are going to come at him with those kinds of double moves quite frequently.
We're talking, of course, with Alan Pupar and the Miami Dolphins Insider Report brought to you by Sports Grill. What happened? What's going on? What's the cheering on? Give us a play-by-play.
It's a 7-on-7 drill, and Tua just had a long completion down the right sideline. Looks like Myles Gaskin.
Nice.
7-on-7 drill, yep.
All right, Myles Gaskin. I like that. How's that running back position for you? Is it Myles Gaskin's to lose? Or is it somebody out there that you think is going to take that job from Myles Gaskin and try to be the number one guy?
No, Myles Gaskin is going to be the number one guy. That's pretty clear cut at this point. The only question is how much action, how many touches guys like Savon Ahmed, who, by the way, is wearing a red no-contact jersey again. He suffered a minor injury a couple of days ago. He's been at practice, but he's wearing that red jersey. So Savon Ahmed, Malcolm Brown, who is not here today. I don't really think I can see Jared Doakes, a seventh-round pick from Cincinnati Tech, very much as a rookie. I think he'd be more like either end of the roster or practice squad type of guy. But without question, it's Myles Gaskin show as the number one guy.
Injury-wise, anything we need to know?
No, I mentioned Malcolm Brown's not out here. We don't know the reason. Andrew Van Ginkel walked off the field towards the end of practice yesterday, limping. Ryan Flores told us he's day-to-day, working to get back. Didn't sound like it's anything serious. And for still no sign of Will Fuller, who hasn't practiced since leaving early in the first day. And, of course, we have the X injury.
Yeah, the so-called injury with that one. Exactly. All right, what are you working on SI so folks can check you out before I let you go?
Anything and everything. I mean, I the second Brian Flores' press conference is done, I'll provide a complete wrap-up of what he said, the highlights of what he says. The second practice is done, and we'll have a full rundown of the highlights and lowlights of practice, and then anything that's pertinent with the team. I mean, I'm up to about 5 stories a day on the site every day, so I certainly encourage everyone to check it out.
There you go. Check it out. Pupart NFL. Check out his SI coverage as he covers the Dolphins on a daily basis, and you will catch him twice a week here on the Big O Radio Show. Alan, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you immensely. Enjoy the rest of practice.
You got it, big O.
And that's a killer Expos hat. Nice job by you. Be good, brother. There you go. People are loving that sweet lid of his from the Expos. It is a nice lid, isn't it? Good job by Alan Poupart. That is his debut here. You will catch him now twice a week here. All right, we keep adding, baby. We just keep adding and adding talent and adding more talent. And hopefully tomorrow we will have an announcement of a new addition to the show coming up. So looking forward to that. More Dolphin coverage. Yes. So, yeah. So we're going to have the best Dolphin, the best Heat coverage here for you. And we already give you the best Inter Miami coverage. And we talk Panthers also, always. We'll bring on David Dwork. We'll bring on George Richards. Always, man. We're going to cover every single sport here. We're not, obviously, you all know I live and eat and breathe football. Yes, that's my favorite sport in the world. But I am an all sports guy, and I follow everything, love everything. So you can always catch all kinds of sports on this program, at least. Tremolio says Noah, Waddle, Wilson, Holland, Bowen have all been good returners. Flo isn't going to keep a guy that will have 3 to 4 touches, Jakeem, versus a pivotal player. Tremolio, you have all those guys. You could say they're returners. Are they elite returners? You know, because Noah, Waddle, Wilson, Holland, Bowden have never been elite returners in the NFL. So it's, again, I don't know if you saw Flo's comments, but, you know, he was pretty complimentary about Jakeem Grant. You know, he likes the kind of guys that can flip the field, he was saying. Armando Salguero says Noah Igbinogami, working with the backups, beaten deep by Isaiah Ford on a pass by Jacoby Brissett. So Noah Igbinogami not making the transition yet. Thrill Williams with a nice breakup of a Sinet deep ball got in there at the last minute. And who was just talking about Thrill Williams? Alan Poupart was just talking about him, how he's actually been playing well too. Let's see. And Omar goes, Isaiah Ford just roasted Noah Igbinogami on a deep pass from Brissett and went 45 yards. Great throw. Tua with a nice 25-yard reception. That's the one that Alan was talking about for Miles Gaskins along the right sideline. Javon Holland would have run Gaskins the ball if the actions were live, but nice throw. Okay. There you go. So those are some of the things going on in practice, and we'll keep you updated throughout if we see any injuries, which I don't even want to read about a damn injury. You know what I'm saying? That these are things like the injuries are the thing in injuries are the thing that will ruin your day because it's ruining your season. Right? Like you're watching your team or you're at work or whatever, or you're on your way home and then you hear this report, you see it on Twitter, one of your most important players blows out a knee ligament and an Achilles or whatever. And it's like this bucket of giant cold ass water that gets doused on you. Right. And you're like, oh man, how's my team going to recover from that? That's the worst part about training camp and preseason, because it's meaningless football on the standings. It's really not meaningless football because you need to practice to get better and sharpen your skills and anything you do in life. It's not just a football thing. It's anything that you do. And I don't care if you're a video editor, you're an artist, you're a painter. I don't care what you do. You're a singer, whatever, dude. You need to practice anything, any kind of craft that you do to get better at it. And so practice is necessary. But man, when you see a guy blow out his Achilles in practice and you're like, damn, he didn't even get hurt in the regular season. It's one of those things. It's gut wrenching. It's like a knife in your stomach, you know, that kind of stuff. I know I'm going a little bit to the extreme, but you know what I'm saying? That's the one thing that, wow, I just I never want to read about injuries, see injuries. Just look at the Colts. Look at the Colts fans. You make the move for Wentz, and I know he's always injured, but you're hoping that he doesn't get injured. And look, now he's injured, and now they talk about the Colts have the hardest schedule in the first 5 weeks of the season. And if this guy misses, you know, a significant amount of time, and they're even, do you see that they're talking about Philip Rivers? And Philip Rivers is like, yeah, you know, I'm retired, but, you know, I haven't ruled it out. I throw the ball around a little bit. I'm starting to get in shape a little bit, so I haven't ruled it out. Are you serious that you would want to actually get this guy back? By the way, global coronavirus cases surpassed 200 million, according to Reuters. Damn. Scary. Let's see. Rosendo says, any high school local sports talk in the future? I would not rule that out. I would not rule that out. Any horse racing talk? Maybe. You never know. I could see that. If we partner up with somebody, that could be something that we could add to it. We could add a segment that way. I'm open to anything, man. Digitally, it should all be available to people if we can. So, yeah, I can't rule out anything. I'm not anti anything, dude. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy that hates, you know, soccer or hates baseball or hates hockey or, you know, or hates MMA or anything like that. That's not who I am. I like every sport pretty much. Now, I may not tell you that I like every sport the way I love football. No, it's different. You know what I mean? But I do care about watching all kinds of sports. I can't wait to hear the announcement of MTG Ectoplasm joining the Big O Show, providing the best magic, the gathering information. Okay. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to MTG Ectoplasm. If they want to join the show, let's go. Bring them aboard. And remember, folks, you know, EJD Construction, Pallet Rack City, you own a warehouse, you need some racks, call our folks at Pallet Rack City. All right. Eddie Pineda does excellent work. You know, you need construction at in your home. EJD Construction is phenomenal at doing all kinds of stuff. That's the other important thing. Car, you're looking for a car. You want to buy or lease one. Accurate Pembroke Pines. You know, that's the other thing that's very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you use our sponsors. We have great sponsors. I usually don't team up with somebody that is not a good sponsor, you know. And so it's very important that if you're looking for some of the things that we do have here, please use our sponsors also and mention our show. That's incredibly important. You know, if you like what we're doing, right, and you want us to grow, that's why I tell you, smash the like button. That's a way of helping us. Share the link. Donate on Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. Visit our sponsors. Subscribe, download, podcasting, the video, all of these kind of things. One way or another, you will be helping the show out immensely. So if you want us to continue to grow and add more elements, and listen, I'm a born and raised guy here in South Florida. All right. I care about our local sports more than anything else in the sports world. Sure, I watch everything else, but I care about South Florida sports first. Something that doesn't happen in 560, doesn't happen in 940, doesn't happen 790, doesn't happen in any station locally. None of them are dedicated to local sports. They just have a couple of half-assed shows. Some stations just sell their time for people to buy it. Some stations just have a couple of shows left, you know, and they don't care about us. You know what I mean? That's the difference. So if you want to help us grow here to create the kind of show that South Florida sports fans all around the world want, please support us in the many different ways that you can support us here on the show. And we talk about it all the time, and we thank you for that. I would not put Waddle doing punts. I mean, it doesn't matter. I love how some people like the Demolio, you want to just throw names out there Like, oh, yeah, they can do the job that Jakeem Grant can. Meanwhile, there's like 27 teams in the NFL that don't have a guy like Jakeem Grant. Yet, no, we'll just get rid of him because he's just not that important. You know, it's like you make it sound like it's that easy, you know, and I love Tremolio, but you throw out names like that and none of them have ever proven anything. So you have no idea if they can do it. You can say it, but there's no substance behind it. The only substance that exists is that Jakeem Grant is one of the three best returners in the NFL. Period. End of argument, end of discussion. Since the second the guy stepped onto an NFL field, he's a top three returner. No one else on the Dolphins can say that. No one else in the NFL on 27 other teams can say that. That's a lot of people. Everybody's carrying around 90 players. 90 times 27, you do the math. That's a shitload of players. And that's a shitload of players that can say, yeah, no, I can't even come close to Jakeem Grant. They can dream to be a returner like Jakeem Grant, but they're not a returner like Jakeem Grant. So it's really easy to invent stuff and say, oh, no, we'll get rid of him and we'll put this guy there and he'll be just as good. We'll put Noah Igbinoghomi there and he'll be just as good. Get the hell out of here, dude. You know, that doesn't make any sense because they've never done it. So you have zero clue whether they can do it. And then you get rid of him and you can't replace him. And then the same people like Tremolio that is say, oh, we'll replace him. 8 weeks in, they don't have a returner that can get past the 20-yard line. They're going to say, same people like Tremolio will say, oh, why'd you get rid of Jakeem Grant? You know, we shouldn't have gotten rid of Jakeem Grant. He's a pretty good returner. Because that's what's going to happen. The same people that bitch and complain about one guy will be the same people that will then be bitching and complaining to the team that they got rid of the same guy that they wanted to get rid of 6 months ago. Because that's how people roll. You know, but we seem to have this conversation at least every other day. At least that's what it feels like. Big O, what is your favorite past era in sports radio where you hosted? Oh, the 90s, bro. The 90s. When I started, that first decade was awesome. One of the greatest decades for radio. The money was flowing like crazy. Okay. It was fun. Remember, it started in the 80s, pretty much sports talk. So maybe mid to late 80s. And once it took off, it became like a fever. And it was something new to all of us. And we had sports talk 610 here. That's what it was before QAM started with Sunshine Wireless and all those guys. It was Hank and Bo and Mandich and Zagacki and those guys doing sports talk 610 in the evenings. What was it? 6 to 8, I think it was. Something like that in the evening. It was right after Rick and Suds finished, right? Was it Rick and Suds in the afternoon? I think so. At that time, it was Rick and Suds in the afternoon, I want to say. And when Rick and Suds would come off the air at 6, then sports talk would start. And that was the only sports talk we had. And then came QAM and rest in peace, the Brown Ranger and Jimmy Cephalo and all that stuff. And then they started with that. And then that kind of became a drug for all of us that were sports fans. It's like, wow, we have a place to actually talk sports and listen and hear about, you know, any breaking news and all that kind of stuff and interviews. So it was kind of new. So I would have to say, I would have loved to have joined in the late 80s, but I wasn't, you know, in the business. So I started in 91. So there you go. So I would go with the 90s. The 90s were the best. Once we got into the 2000s and the government allowed companies to buy up all the stations, slowly but surely, the radio business got worse and worse. And it's a disgrace now at this point. It's just a joke now. Greer looks like a great defensive evaluator of talent, but what's the verdict on Greer as an offensive evaluator of talent? Do you think that's too early to tell? Yeah, it is too early to tell. And Rosendo, if he hits on Tua, I don't care about anything else. By the way, didn't he find Preston Williams off the scrap heap? I know the kid's had a couple injuries, but it's not like he can't play, right? Miles Gaskin might be a pretty damn good seventh-round pick on offense. Mike Gesicki's turned into a pretty good player. You can't judge the line yet because they're all so young. Still, Dieter's like the one that we can really – this is the year where you got to judge Dieter now. This is his third year. Third, fourth years now for linemen. We got to already say, okay, what are you? First year, second year, you're still trying to find yourself. I can understand. Maybe you make it. Maybe you don't. Whatever. You're not looking good. You look good. But by the time we get to our third and fourth years with linemen, we got to figure it out. So Dieter's the only one we can really start to judge this year. The other guys are still kind of figuring it out, so we can't judge him. I don't see he's – I think he's pretty good on offense too, actually. But if he found this – look, as I've said before, if he hit on Flo, and he did, looks like it, and he hits on Greer, what more do you need, dude? I'm sorry. I must have, you know, it's kind of like the thing with Tremolio on the, well, we could get five other guys to return and replace him. You know what I mean? Okay, so what general manager in the last 25 years in a Dolphins uniform can find a coach and a quarterback? That's it. That's all I've ever wanted, actually. Because if you can find me a coach and you can find me a quarterback, I know you're going to find everything else. So if he hits on Tua, what's there more to say about Greer, dude? It's like over. Seriously. If your buddy, if you hit on Greer and Flo, and let's say a year from now or 2 years from now, we watch Tua blow up now and kicks ass. And Flo, we got a pretty good feel for him in the first 2 years. Like, yo, this dude's got it, right? Because I feel he's got it. But let's just say, for craps and giggles, okay? Let's just say, you hit Tua and you hit Flo. What's there more to say? What GM can do that? And Jimmy couldn't do that. Dave Wannstedt couldn't do that. I mean, they were GMs also, right? And then all the other guys that really weren't the GMs, whether it's Cam Cameron or Joe Philbin or whatever, and then you put Jeff Ireland, you put, you know, Spielman, you put whatever, any of the guys that have been here over the years, none of them have been able to find a quarterback and a coach. That's all I need. Once you get me a quarterback and a coach, I'm on my way, dude. You'll find everything else. You'll settle it all. So that's really all you got to do. That's all you got to say about Greer. And by the way, in 2 years, if Tua's balling, if your buddy ever complains about Chris Greer, you are allowed to punch him right in the face. Okay? Just want you to know that. Any discussion you're having with your buddy 2 years from now, and Tua's been balling for 2 years, proving that he's the guy. And if anybody ever says anything negative again about Greer, you are allowed to punch him right in the center of the face. Okay? And he cannot say anything because he said something so stupid and ignorant that he deserves to get punched about 87 times in the face. I just want you to know because I've passed that law now. So in 2 years, if that happens, knock your buddy out. Okay? Do me a favor. Knock your buddy out because... That again, it's kind of back to the Tremolio thing. He takes for granted the returner and thinks that anybody else could do it. Meanwhile, it's not like they always have one here in with the Miami Dolphins, right? Same thing here. If Tua becomes the guy and anybody ever again complains about Greer, deck him hard. That's what I would say. Cause serious damage. Bust a couple of tufuses. Punch him in la nariz. That's it, Ray. Nariz, jaw,
whatever. He deserves a nice ass kicking. Pat in Nashville says, late to the party. Camp Truce in Miami over 20 years. Offense always struggles at the beginning of camp. Pass and run. Defense always better at start. Not this year. So it could be a sign, or our D sucks. I don't think either, Pat. I think the Dolphins have a good team. It's just got to give them a little time here. They'll figure everything out. And remember, with Greer, everybody gets better as the year goes on. Big O, once Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC, is heard that the Pac-12 and the Big 12 commissioners are meeting to merge as one conference. What are your thoughts? They're both mediocre conferences, so maybe you can make a good conference out of getting them together. At this point, we're kind of headed for a Power Four conference now. That's kind of what I felt once I heard that news, because the Big 12, that's such a major loss for the Big 12 that they're going to have to do something. So that kind of makes sense. And the Pac-12 is a weak conference as it is. Robert Hidalgo says, you're on a roll today, Houdini. Is that me, or are you talking to somebody else? Big Bob says, we need Tremaine Mack running punts. Remember that? I thought Tremaine Mack almost won a Heisman by himself 1 year. He was so good. So good, man. God, that guy had a knack for being around the football that was just absolutely sick. Got to give him a lot of credit on that one. What else do we have here? Santanella Cruz, I was thinking the same thing, because that O-line is my biggest concern. Well, it should be. Should be a concern. Yeah, until the young guys turn the corner, you have to be worried about that for sure. That makes sense. Pat in Asheville says, late to the party, Camp Truce. Oh, okay, I got you there. I read that one. All right, what else do I have here? I know I saw something else. Tremoli says, Big O, you don't understand what I said. It's value versus touches. If you load the D-line, it's better than Jakeem. That's substance, not end of discussion. No, dude, eliminating Jakeem and throwing out those names is not substance, my man. You can't say, like you did earlier, that, what was it? Noah Waddle, Wilson, Holland, Bowen have all been good returners. Flo isn't going to keep a guy that will have 3-4 touches, Jakeem, versus a dime pivotal player. So first of all, you're making it sound like some of these guys will be pivotal, not just on their respective positions, but as returners. And you have no idea. You're assuming that they're going to translate and do what Jakeem does. And that's not realistic, dude. If it was that easy, they would have gotten rid of Jakeem already and had his replacement. We'll keep the short guy for 1 year. We'll go get a taller returner next year. If it was that interchangeable, I think they would do it. But you make it what Jakeem can do, and the quick twitch, and how he can change directions. Very few people can do that, man. Very few people can do that. And actually, his size, while a detriment at times, could also be a positive too, because he's so low to the ground. It's one of those guys that can hide behind his blockers. He can use them as shields. He can then use them as an advantage to try to get past defenders, because they don't see him, you know, clearly until the last second. And if you see him in the last second, he can shift and dart away from you. You know what I mean? You're not really giving that young man a lot of credit for his greatness as a returner. And I'm not using that loosely. I'm using that because that's what he is. He's a great returner. So, I don't know. Matthew Owens says, sorry, I will do cat. No, you don't have to apologize, man. I just try to remind people, Matthew, that's all. It's all good, man. I'm grateful. However you do it, if you do it there on the super chat, obviously what I tell people is the Cash App and the Venmo is the better option. I just want to remind people, but I appreciate it. There is no need to apologize if you use it at all. I am incredibly grateful at that. Ray says, Van Ginkle, great find in the fifth round, I think. Yeah, an amazing find in the fifth round. Yes, Ed Kaplan is doing well. Yes. He is enjoying retirement. He's just not on radio anymore. But he is, last I heard, he's doing all right, actually. So, yes. I haven't talked to Ed in a while. I got to call him. I haven't heard from him in a while. So I should reach out to Easy Ed. Oh, at this point, would you agree Noah was a mistake to take in the first round, as he's looking like a serious project? We could have taken a stud running back instead. Not at all. It's only 1 year. This year hasn't passed. I'm not ready to do anything. You know, it's way too early to give up on. I just told you right now with Dieter. Dieter's headed into his third year. Now's when we really got to see something out of Dieter. You know, so I have a little patience for young players. I give them some time to actually, you know, develop. And it's not like he played a ton last year. He played some last year, didn't play a ton. He needs to play. He needs to make his mistakes. He needs to grow. This is nothing new that a young corner struggles early on to try to find his way. You know, I thought, wasn't Darrell Revis a struggle early on, I want to say? You know, people have they have short memories, and maybe they have bad memories, but I want to say, and I'm pretty sure, that even Jets fans thought Revis was a bust either 1 or 2 years in. Seriously. Before he became the guy on the island. Let's see. I think he had 3 interceptions his rookie year. I got to see the other numbers. I don't know if I can get the extrapolate the other numbers for him. But I want to say that he got burned a lot and did not play well either his first or even second year. He did have 5 his second year, by the way. I need to see his more extensive numbers to see the completion percentage. But I want to say that I remember Jets fans kind of complaining about Revis early in his career, and then he took off and then became just an absolute monster after that. Because, you know, he didn't have a lot of interceptions because they didn't throw his way. But when he had a couple early on, it's because they kept throwing his way and they kept completing. But I'm pretty sure if I could get those next level numbers, and I don't know if they have it here in Pro Football Reference, but I'm pretty sure if you look at the next level numbers and completion percentage and things like that, they weren't very good. You know? So I'm pretty sure of that. I remember taking the phone calls. I remember people complaining about it. What is the NFL overall return average and what is Grant's return average? The delta multiple by average of 6 returns per game is his value to the team. And check out touchdowns too, my man. I don't know what it is. All I know is he's really good at it. And he scores more than most people, if not all, on returns. He's had more touchdowns since he got in the league probably than most returners in the NFL. I'll say 99.5% of the returners since he got in the league. There might be one guy, maybe two, I doubt it, that has more touchdowns and returns than Jakeem Grant. And let's not take and there were a couple where he scored and they called him back. Especially, I remember, I want to say his first year, there were like 2 of them that they called back. Again, it's kind of, you know, underestimating his value. I really hope the Dolphins sign Xavier to a better deal and fix things. Noah Needham will hurt this team. Albert Wilson and Tua have developed nice chemistry. All right. We will find out, but I don't go too much on what's happened in training camp without actual pads. You know what I'm saying? All right. Let's take a 2-minute break. We'll be back for hour number 3.